This section of scripture is quite powerful. It's been taught on and avoided, equally so, for centuries. Daniel chapter 9 and the 70 sevens of Daniel. Just what is being explored here by Daniel? What is he seeing? How do we interpret? How do we relate? Well, these are questions we'll answer for you as we begin our time together once again in Daniel chapter 9 here on Abounding Grace as Pastor Chris Gordon continues our journey through Daniel. We're looking at these 70 sevens of Daniel. Find out exactly what they mean. What is God revealing to Daniel and us? With the answers and more, once again, Pastor Chris.
The beautiful imagery of Daniel 9 was, this was the turning point. Notice how serious they took sin. Notice how serious Daniel's confessing sin. And he's not looking to the culture, and he's not saying, oh, they're the worst people. He's first confessing. He's not looking to the LGBT people first. He's saying, we've sinned. It's us. And he goes to the scriptures, and he reads Jeremiah 25. After 70 years, God would then judge Babylon. Babylon just fell. History. Babylon, right in front of Daniel's eyes, just fell. Then they would go back and they would return and rebuild Jerusalem. That's what the prophet said. Jeremiah 25 said that. Daniel's thinking, we've got to pray. It's time. Daniel didn't take the attitude, God's sovereign, we don't pray. We've got to pray. It's time. So he prays. He sees history moving. He's awake. And Gabriel comes. Gabriel says something beautiful. You have been heard, Daniel, at the first word of your prayer. not the last word. You've been heard at the first word of your prayer. And as soon as you prayed and that first word of repentance went out of your lips, it shows how eager God is to forgive sins, beloved. How eager God is to forgive sins. As soon as that first word, I want you to know you are greatly loved. So are you, all of you. You are greatly loved. The decree went out. What decree? That's where we are. Consider the vision. Consider the vision. So what this is it was meant for Daniel to understand what burdened him most. If you have a context to this, what burdened Daniel the most? Atonement for sin. Restoration of God's people. That's what's captured here. And that should be our concern. That should be our great concern to the nations now is that this message gets out. But what has God done for us? Daniel sits at the beginning of this prophecy. So at the beginning of your prayer, the decree goes out. We sit at the very end of this prophecy. So what I'm about to describe to you, here's Daniel, here's you. We're at the very end of this prophecy. And what that means is, big picture, we can trace how in history everything that we are about to go through has come to pass, and that we sit now at the end waiting for the final consummation of everything, the resurrection. We're at the very end of history from this point. So this was meant to give Daniel understanding, and more importantly, this was meant to say your greatest concern about restoration and the problem of sin will be answered in history. It's going to be answered through much struggle. You're going to be home soon. So Gabriel begins in verse 24. It's important to see it. I encourage you to have the scriptures open so you kind of see what's happening here. Notice verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin and to atone for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet and to anoint the most holy place. This is the heart of the vision. It really literally is 77s. Weeks, I'll come back to finish transgression, to make an end to sin, And there will be this set period of time by a decree when finally all sin, transgression will be finished. And there will be everlasting righteousness brought in. What a vision. Maybe the most important vision in the book. Very important vision for us. And as soon as he has this statement made in verse 24, he says, seal it up. This will be sealed. That is done. This is God's seal on this, meaning that God is bringing in what is being described here. And that's what we need to think about just for a minute, what is being described here. Whatever the confusion we have of the vision, the heart of it has to be this. It is the answer to Daniel of the burden of his prayer. Lord, we have sinned. And we've committed treachery. Now you see how important this is. I've tried to have us think about, we get so worked up about everything happening in the world and the culture. I've tried to have us think about here the spirit of Daniel, who, as I said last time, think about, you know, are we, in light of everything happening, repenting more than we're complaining about things? It's the spirit of Daniel. Like John Flavel, I said last time, I could look at 1,000 sins of others and see them clearly instead of repent of one sin of my own, see my own sin. This is the struggle here. Daniel's spirit is so burdened this way. He is humble and he's confessing and he knows that the reason things are the way that they are is because of sin. And God's so ready to deliver. Daniel says, Gabriel says, 77s are determined until what? All sins dealt with. And the most holy is anointed. You'll see that there. 77s to finish transgression and to anoint a most holy place. The challenge here is that this is clearly symbolic language and not literal periods of time. That's what's difficult for people. The number 7 is clearly one of the most important numbers in Scripture that is meant to signify perfection. Just think of how Jesus taught about forgiveness with the number 7. How many times do I forgive? Up to 70 times 7, which meant what? Indefinite. If this were literal, none of this would mean anything. Literal 7 weeks and 7 time periods that would be encompassed through Daniel's life, that would mean absolutely nothing. Everlasting righteousness was not brought in Daniel's life. So we're not talking about merely here reading this as literal weeks. It's capturing 7, really, you know, the language here is capturing 7-year periods. So it's describing 77s, not literal weeks. And even then, it's not helpful to follow some kind of strict chronology as if this is, some people have done, this is 490 years then. 490 years, in sevens, 7, we'll look at 3 epochs here. 7, 62, that makes 69, and then 70. None of you get that. I understand that. What I'm saying to you is this. These represent 3 symbolic periods from Daniel's prayer, with surprising emphasis on the last period. We have 3 periods of time. We have 3 phases in the vision. We have 3 epochs to the vision. Understand that from the beginning, when your prayer went out, beginning the decree to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince, that's what he says, literally. There will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Now, I'm pretty good at math. Pastors generally aren't. But that does make 69. What was Daniel's burden? How long, O Lord, will the sanctuary called by your name be left desolate? Gabriel says, first phase, 7 sevens. From the time of the decree, the time the decree went out, first word of your prayer, there are 7 sevens. Then the street shall be built again. And we know this from the book of Nehemiah. The temple was rebuilt. The street was rebuilt. The wall was rebuilt. From the time that, and think about it, and then Cyrus would come along and give that decree, they're going to go back and they're going to rebuild. They're going to rebuild Jerusalem. And this is going to be an exciting time. Then there's going to come the second phase. That was seven sevens. Then there comes the second phase. Once Jerusalem is restored and rebuilt, there will be 62 sevens. That's the long period from the time when Jerusalem is rebuilt until who? Verse 25. Well, you can see it there. Know therefore and understand from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and moat and in troubled times. What that is capturing is, in the second phase, is the time from when the temple's built all the way to the Messiah. And you see what's happening here. Daniel was concerned about these things. This was the answer to his prayer. Jerusalem, the rebuilding of the temple, and the dealing with what? Sin. That's why it was thrown down to begin with. So Gabriel says, seven sevens until the temple's rebuilt. And then from it being rebuilt, there will be 62 sevens until the Messiah comes. And that captures history from this point to the coming of Christ. That's all this is doing. It's capturing history from this point to the coming of Christ. That's 69 sevens. And after that, the 62-week phase, the second phase, notice, the prince, the Messiah, will be cut off. The prince, the Messiah, shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the whole thing will happen again. They'll come and they'll destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it will be with a flood till the end of the war of desolations are determined. Now, I think one of the central themes here that we have to grapple with just for a second is what affected Daniel before Gabriel speaks of the 70th seven, the last week, the last seven. It's probably one of the most overlooked phrase in the vision at the end of verse 25. Then for 62 weeks shall be built again with squares and moat, but in a troubled time. And then this whole thing will repeat itself again until the desolations are determined. This, if you're missing this, get this. This captures the heart of the struggle of the book of Daniel. We've prayed. We've cried. We've asked the Lord for help in these times. And this plan never seems to unfold. What are we told to do? To be patient. And in our experience is we have the same struggles, the same burdens, the same problems. Life is a struggle. We long to be set free from sin. We want peace. We want strength. Our health is always in question. We seem to face nothing but discouragement. Death comes when we least expect it of a loved one. It seems like nothing's ever moving. It seems like nothing's ever going. I feel stuck. We face struggle and disappointment and loss. Well, what is Daniel showing? Lord, would you hear us? Would you help us? Would you forgive us? Look at the end of the prayer. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Lord, listen. Lord, act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Our experience of God's workings feels incredibly slow. It feels he's doing little. But the scripture says everything different. Did he not answer us? That's the question of the vision. Daniel said, "Oh Lord, we've sinned. Forgive us." Gabriel says, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off and the city and the sanctuary destroyed. And here's the point of the vision. In history, when it seemed like all was lost, God gave his answer. God sent his Messiah. This is a vision of Jesus. This is a vision of Jesus and his people in history. He was cut off in the midst of this. He was crucified. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And the very beginning answer to Daniel's prayer is captured for us when it said right at the beginning, this is where it comes together, I hope, he finished transgression. He made an end of sins. He's talking about the prince, the Messiah. He made reconciliation for iniquity, and he brought in everlasting righteousness. When Jesus said it was finished, he was thinking of this. Sin was finished. Sin was paid for. Sin was atoned for. There was reconciliation made between man and God. He finished praying. Remember at the beginning of this, he prayed, forgive us and help us. And what God is showing in this vision is very simple. In history, he did that. He answered this prayer in Jesus Christ. And what this describes is that temple after Jesus finished sin, paid for sin, atoned for sin, the temple went down once and finally forever on earth. That was AD 70. There was an end of sacrifice and offering. It was done because Jesus was the final one. And now, beloved, we live in the last seven of history. That's the big picture. 69 sevens have happened. And then came the 70th seven. That's the exciting aspect of the vision for you. It's the most confusing part for people, but I don't, in my humble estimation, shouldn't be. The seventh, as one pastor said, is like the Jubilee week. This is the Jubilee. This is the week where everything's been done. Everything has been made right that needs to be made right. Sin has been atoned for. And that's verse 27. In verse 27, it says, and he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week. And for half of the week he shall put an end to sacrifice and offering. On the wing of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the decreed end is poured out on the desolator. That is when we live. That's the last week of history, the last seven of history, if you will. Big picture here. When transgression is finished, when atonement is made, when everlasting righteousness is brought in, when was that done? AD 30, in the month of Nisan, at about the sixth hour of the day, when Jesus said it's finished. He shall confirm a strong covenant in that last period of history. What covenant is that? It's the new covenant. Daniel kept reading in Jeremiah 31. This is what he came to. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I'll make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbors, saying to one another, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I'm going to do what? I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. What are your sins today? Did you hear what God just said to you? They've been paid for. It's over. I'm not remembering them. I'm not holding them against you. I've made a strong covenant. the new covenant, which is the fulfillment of everything promised to Abraham. Jeremiah would go on, 33. In those days and at that time, I'll make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. That is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. That's today. The Messiah, the Prince, will be cut off. End of sin will be made. Sacrifice and offering, AD 70, will be over. The Messiah will confirm that covenant for 1 week. 1:7. And that's what Jesus was celebrating when he went to the cross, beloved. When he went to the cross, he held up the bread and the wine and he said what? This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, and you're going to see me again. The time you'll see me again by face is when we drink this anew in the kingdom together. All that's left in the big history picture is the consummation of everything. You are at the brink of it. He's ready to take us home. And the point is, God's grace will triumph. What encouragements to us to think as we see this, how long, O Lord, will this stuff go on? How long do we want to go home? Daniel, your first word, a decree went out. Your prayer of forgiveness of sins. You are justified. Your people will be justified. Your Messiah will come. Your Messiah will do this for you. And this new covenant in your blood will be established for a jubilee period, a final seven. Where to the ends of the earth I will gather together the outcasts of Israel. That's when you live. That's when I live. So when you're discouraged by things, and when you're feeling that nothing is happening, and when you're feeling that death and sorrow and sin is prevailing, the message of the vision is this: I've already answered you. Atonement has been made. Sin is finished. You are forgiven who believe in Christ. Look at what has been done throughout history. Look at the scriptures to see that Jesus has been given, your Messiah, your Prince. And when you're discouraged and you feel like you're going nowhere and you're tired of the struggle, remember this, you just got half a week left. And that's the end of that week. That's how he wants us to see this. We are in the final days of the history of the heavens and the earth. Until they are renewed again. Until the consummation of everything comes. That's how the end verse reads. Until he makes desolate, until the decreed end. What that is in verse 27, till the consummation comes. The resurrection. And so, today, the encouragement of this vision is, he's answered your prayer. Whenever you pray for forgiveness of sins, no, he's answered your prayer. You're just on the brink of the end, and he's saving to the ends of the earth, and he's still gathering. The only reason we haven't come in yet, the only reason we haven't entered into this final glory that's been promised to us is because he is patient, and he's still saving. Some of you have loved ones that still need to be saved. Some of you have friends and neighbors that still need to be saved. That's why you're here. But we're there. Brothers and sisters, we're there. Daniel was here, we're there. So be encouraged in this and see that God has answered you, and that as the prophet Gabriel said to Daniel so many years ago, you are greatly loved. Believe that, know that, and trust his promises. The time is at hand.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program. Or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.